You know, I had to go nuts, but I went to Cincinnati and got all the Cincinnati stuff.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is...
What? My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Woo! Happy New Year! It is
Happy New Year! Happy New Year!
Merry New Year! What was that from?
There you go. Merry New Year!
Oh man, it's a good time to see you, fellas. I know it's been a minute. We had a little hiatus, but we're back. As I posted on the Facebook page, we're grateful, but we do have some heavy hearts and a lot of things to discuss. So again. That's where we want to kick it off, and obviously we're grateful for the time and just how life is, and I would not be remiss if I did not kick it off to Mr. Gary and just kind of talk about our tribute to Curtis, to our missing brother. You know, we've got a lot of episodes of him talking about some stuff, man. So I think that's gonna always live on. But I just wanted to let you have the floor, sir, and just kind of tell your thoughts, and we can kind of go from there before we start this edition here. The first 2023 issue of Talking Sports, the 12th man.
Well, I'm here with a heavy heart. Curtis was born 7/31/1960. He died on 12/21/2022. He, as a young man, fresh out of high school and a track athlete that he was, and a scholarship to, Pepperdine and, some colleges like that. He made a decision to go to Northern Idaho and run track. And he figured that if he went up there, he would get in less trouble in Idaho than he would in California. But he soon found out that was not quite right in his estimations. And he got himself in a little trouble, but he was able to work himself out of it. Nothing big, just partying and carousing with the girls and that sort of thing. But, Curtis was in the Coast Guard. He joined the Coast Guard, and he was stationed in Biloxi, Mississippi. And this is back in the early 80s where, the drug cartels were running a lot of stuff out of Havana and into the United States. And so that's what they were battling, is those drug cartels and those big cigarette boats and big chases and all this sort of thing. And he had a lot of really neat stories with that. Curtis would always come to work and he would say, I've been fired from every job I ever had, Gary. And he'd tell everybody that. And I'd say, well, Curtis, you weren't fired from Northwest, and you weren't fired from Delta. And he said, well, not yet. I haven't been fired yet, is what he would say. So he's preparing himself. But, as I went through his stuff, I'm pulling out all these things. I pull out this box of totes, and it's got just nothing but all of these running medals and plaques and everything. I mean a full-on tote full of this stuff. And Curtis was in this one race. I pulled this medal out. He was in the Cascade Run, which is a race from Timberline, Rob, you've been there, all the way to the Oregon coast. And it's a relay race. And all of your top teams from all over the world come in and race these. And he was able to be in a group where they went against this Australian national team and the Nike collegiate team, and Curtis's team, a bunch of ragtag runners. And Curtis was first leg from Timberline Lodge down to government camp. And he won. He beat these guys. And he said, I didn't dare look back. I didn't have enough of a lead to even look back because I could hear their footsteps. But when I crossed my ending point, I knew that I had won. That's the type of attitude Curtis took in to his ALS battle of 4 years. You guys know that I was with Curtis throughout this whole process. From the time that we saw him at work out on the flight line, where I could see just a little bit of when he was walking, a little bit of a dropped foot. And I'm like, you know, he's picking his leg up a little too high and there's something wrong. So we finally tossed him. Curtis being a macho man, we finally talked him to go to the doctor. And I was one of the first people he told that he had ALS. And I went to his doctor's appointment with him. And he told the doctor, I'll give you 6 months before you're in a wheelchair, and you'll be gone within a year. That was 4 years ago. And Curtis, the strong-minded person he is, he says, I'm walking in here in 6 months, and I'm going to prove to you you're wrong. Well, I've got all of his appointments and everything, you know, so I know what's going on. Curtis gives me a call, Gary, you got to come over, you got to be over here at 10 o'clock. So I go over there at 10 o'clock, and he says, we've got an appointment, we've got to go see the doctor. And I said, I don't have it on my phone. Arnetta doesn't have it. I don't know what's going on. He says, I've got to go see the doctor. So we go up there, and the lady's trying to pull his appointment up. And he says, oh, I don't have an appointment. I just need to see the doctor. I need to talk to him for a minute. So finally the doctor came out, and he said, he got up out of the chair, and he walked over, and he says, I told you I was going to walk over. This was 6 months ago. You told me I was going to be in the wheelchair. I'll see you in 6 months when you say I'm going to be dead. I'll walk in and say hello to you. And he says, I've just got one thing to say to you, doctor. So-and-so, I can't remember the doctor's name. He says, I'm fighting as hard as I can, and you fight as hard as you can. Because if I find out you're not fighting as hard as you can, I'm going to come in here in 6 months, and I'm going to kick your effing ass. I'm shocked. And we walked out. Now he's fired up. He says, okay, let's go get something to eat. You know, so we went and got something to eat. But you know what, guys? During this process with Curtis, so many of us would say, why me? How come this happened to me? What did I do? You know, Curtis never, ever... That never crossed his mind. He just said, this is me. I'm going to do whatever we can to beat it and to fight it and to stay alive as long as I possibly can. So he beat that. He shattered all of those records. And I'm just grateful to have had him in my life. And Rob's had an opportunity to... Had an opportunity to meet Curtis. I know you two have not in person, but gosh, this is as good as it gets, right? When you're across the country. You guys have brought so much joy to Curtis's life. This was something that he absolutely, even when he couldn't speak, even when he could only get out one word, you know, what team do you want to win, Curtis? Who are you picking? You know, Bengals or whoever, or Saints or whoever, you know, they would take his CPAP mask off, and he would get enough energy to give his little picks. Now, he wasn't able to give that barrage of stuff that we call Curtis at different times, but I've heard enough of it to where I kind of knew, you know. But, you know, I go out, his family was there. I was grateful. He had so many co-workers there that came to fill this place. It was amazing. The station manager is, you know, brought in TDY from Salt Lake, from Seattle, from, you know, LA, so that all these people could go. And it was just incredible. He would have been so happy to see that. And I know he was looking down, and I know he was happy. And so I made sure that the flower arrangement, I made a big, huge flower arrangement that sat on an easel. And it was silver and blue because, you know, he's a diehard cowboy, you know. And so I made that for him in his honor. But I wanted to show you this. This was his favorite shirt, just everyday shirt that he wore. And it was just this Delta Airlines little T-shirt from some of our old uniforms, and he loved the shirt, and he'd have his staff of nurses that he had. He only had one left, so he wanted that washed every other day, you know, so he could get it back on him. And they would have to dress him and everything like that, but he wanted that on him because he just loved that shirt. So I wanted to just share that with you guys, and thank you so much for being a part of his life. And let's just see if we can move forward, and I'll do my best to honor him at this end. I do remember the one episode where he got in an argument over the soccer match. Do you guys remember that? That was my favorite. That was my favorite episode with him and that guy that I happen to know got in that argument. I had no idea that was going to happen. But I appreciate you guys, and thank you for letting me talk to you about Curtis a little bit. And let's get it on. Let's do this show, and let's honor him the right way.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Let's not talk about Curtis's love for the Patriots as well, correct?
Oh no!
Hey, listen, no. Hey, Blake No Negro will ever always live on with me forever, man. I don't have anything else for you for that. I'm sorry,
and
man.
Do.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. But
the address I saw was in Lake Oswego, and here in Portland we call that Lake No Negro.
How are we really having this conversation after this?
Right on point, Dre. I'll never forget that, bro. I'll never, ever, ever forget that.
You did your homework to find that one. Huh?
I'll never forget.
There's a couple of quotes that will always be in the lore. Whenever Dickie was talking about how they're never going to fire Hugh Jackson, so we got that as well. And then we got you talking shit too, Gary.
I thought it was Marvin Lewis.
Marvin Lewis. Oh my God! Dang, I gotta get myself together. Hugh Jackson, man, I'm Marvin Lewis.
No, they hired him. They fired Hugh Jackson with the quickness.
I told you before we were texting about it. The Lake No Negro will always live in my brain forever. Mm-hmm. Like I don't ever have to hear it again. I know it because I hear it. So I mean, go ahead. I'm trying to keep you cool. I'm super sorry, Gary.
I know I got to get caught up, man. I've been ripping and running so much, guys. I got to get myself together, man. So please forgive me, but it's been good. So Marvin Lewis, I still have that clip of that whenever you talk to that, because like Marvin Lewis ain't go nowhere. Cockroaches, you're never gonna fire him, and then like he got fired. Like I got the clip of that too. So
I think y'all had one on me on Les Miles too, though.
We do.
Find that one too. That was a classic one too. So we've got a couple of those that we need to definitely hit. But you know, obviously it's good to laugh about some stuff. no, let's kick this off, man, for sure, for another great edition, for sure.
New Orleans has a tradition that you guys, you know, may have seen it on different television shows. It's called a jazz funeral. That's very tradition in New Orleans, is to, you know, to have a somber moment, you know, of sadness. But then you turn it around, and the jazz funeral turns into a celebration. And so this is, you know, an opportunity to celebrate Curtis's life too. And obviously, Gary, we don't know him as well as you've known him and had an opportunity to work with him over the years. But one thing that I think we all have witnessed in the time that we've known him on the show is that he's a man of strength and a man of, you know, courage, and someone that, you know, just continued to fight in his life. And I think that's something that we all can learn from, that we all can share with our family members as well, is that can-do spirit and that, you know, that ability not to quit, that ability not to give up. And I think that's something that I think we all can take from what we've witnessed with Curtis and what he's witnessed over the, you know, what we've witnessed and what he's gone through over the years. So I think this is an opportunity for us to celebrate him. And obviously we'll continue to celebrate him and remember him on this show as well. So we celebrate Curtis's life on tonight.
Well, you know, Curtis was, he was also a police officer. And he was a bus driver. And he was a garbage man. And then he worked in the airline industry. But,
wow.
Yeah.
That's a man of service.
And then
right
he
there.
Worked at a, and then he worked at a grocery store, New Seasons, kind of a high-end market. And he just did that because he had time to do it. You know, Curtis was one eccentric dude. One more story to tell you, and then we're going to move on. He didn't have a refrigerator in his house for like 5 years because he would clean himself up after he got off work. He would go out, have a couple drinks, go to some event, you know, or this sort of thing. By the time he got home, it was 9 o'clock at night. He never had any leftovers, so he didn't see any point of having a refrigerator.
Wow.
Finally, one of my coworkers says, hey, I've got this extra refrigerator. We're moving. Do you want it? And he says, oh, yeah, I guess so. If you want to deliver it, I'm not going to get it. So they deliver it to him. Yeah. So he got a refrigerator.
I guess he wouldn't need to call drinks in like that. That's hilarious, but good stuff.
Yeah, I guess.
Wow, that's awesome. Appreciate the love too.
Yeah.
So good stuff. I did apologize to Gary if I slipped up and say Curtis. You know, it's only because, you know, we're thinking about him as a spirit too. So I'm gonna try my best, and if I it's gonna take, you know, some time to get, you know, from used to throwing it to you guys from that perspective too. So it's something that I'll work through, but we're excited. So. Let's get the show started. We got a lot of things to catch up on. And obviously what kind of caught the NFL world was, you know, obviously the Bills, you know, Hamlin, and we're going to kind of kick off that too because showing remarkable improvement, JQ, thought you, and then JQ had such a great weekend, man, as far as with things happening with the Bengals and whatnot too. So let's talk to you, my friend. What's going on, sir?
Yeah, man, it's been crazy. You know, I last week I drove to Cincinnati on Tuesday because I was going to go on Monday, but the weather, hung out with my family, drove back on Friday, last Friday, went to the Ohio State Georgia game, didn't go the way I liked it to go, of course, but I had a ball, got a really good picture out of it, talked a little trash to my boss and Titus O'Neil, who's a wrestler, big old dude. And of course, I, you know, New Year's Eve, so I had a couple of drinks. I told myself, hey, man, I'm just joking with you. You know, we're just talking about football. Don't put yourself suplex me in the street. Like, I'm just joking. Hey, man, it's just jokes. So that was great. Then I drove back up to Cincinnati, of course, on Monday for the Bills and the Bengals. And I tell you, that place was electric. Like, it's hard to put in words. When you used to the franchise, that, you know, doesn't normally win a whole lot of games and has been a laughing stock. I own it. But I went in there, and I'll tell you, Buffalo was in trouble. Buffalo was in trouble in that game, even before the game started, with the crowd and the way it was going. It was so electric. I can't explain it to people how electric that crowd was, how ready it was for it. And then the Bengals go down and score. Buffalo comes back to kick a field goal. And then the third drive, like, it was the third drive of the game. Like, we're in the first quarter, right? And I'm sitting there. I got my brother's season tickets because he couldn't go because he had to work. So I took my 12-year-old nephew, who he normally takes to the games, with him. So we go, and T. Higgins makes the grab. We all go crazy. And then you just see people go around them are, right? And you don't know what's happening. You feel like maybe he sprained his ankle, hurt his shoulder, you know, making a tackle, something like that. And where we're sitting, the ambulance comes through the tunnel like 5 minutes after he gets hurt. And it's like, and you just think, okay, maybe it's precautionary. You know, they're going to put him on things, chalk him up, he's going to give a thumbs up, you know, keep playing. And what I've told everybody that's asked me about when I was there is that I don't know who this young lady was. She was clearly on the medical staff, right? And she was working around where DeMar was. And she was going to get, like, a package, whatever it was, from the Buffalo sideline. And when I tell you they were on the hash mark that's close to the Buffalo sideline, but with the package she was going to get was on the other side of the Buffalo bench, she took off in a full sprint, like Jackie Joyner, running like that. When I tapped my nephew, the other dude next to me, I said, oh, no, he's in trouble. Look at her. She is in a full sprint to go get the package. I don't know what it was. I don't know if she was going to get the defibrillator, and she sprinted all the way back. The best way to describe it to you so other people can understand it is, you know, when you go to when you go to the Braves game, and they do the skill of bench promotion where the dude runs from the foul line to, like, the second base to take the base and go back, and they're just like this. That's how she was running, right? So we're sitting there, and we don't know what's going on. They don't show any replays of what's happened. We don't get the benefit in the stadium of seeing, you know, Josh Allen and Tre'Davious White crying. Like, we don't know that that's happening. We just see the ambulance and everybody crowd around it, and it goes from being, like, I sent you guys a text of how it was pregame. It went from, like, a 10 or 11 to a 0, like, that. And it just was like sitting in a library or, like, sitting in a church, where everybody's just on their phone trying to figure out what happened, talking to each other real quietly, just stuck. Like, what is happening right now? And we didn't find out till later in the crowd, you know, that they had that was a defib, and they had to perform CPR on them. And they just told us the game was suspended, and it took about another 45 minutes before they told us, you know, hey, the game is done for the night. You know, you guys go home. And I just, you know, you go from, and regardless of, you know, the ramifications of what's happened up to today with the announcements and whatnot, you're just sitting there stuck. Like, I can't believe that this is happening, and you don't know what's going on, and it's suspended, and I've never seen a crowd as packed. There are no empty seats. Mostly Bengals fans with some Buffalo fans, but everybody's having a good time, just chilling out, talking, getting ready to enjoy. It was getting ready to be a shootout. That game was getting ready to be wild.
Yeah.
And it just went from this to this so fast, and I've never seen anything like it. Like, I don't want to take up too much time with it, but, like, I've never seen anything like it. But luckily, we've got the news today that he's woken and asked. First thing is, did we win the game? You know, right? So I'm so happy for him and his family. And shout out to Zach Taylor and Sean McDermott and all the responders that, you know, they revived that dude. Like, he was dead, and they revived him once on the field and once in the ER. And I just, to have been a part of that, not anything that I would want to be a part of, but just to have been a part of that and to see that, I'm so happy that he's still with us. And I'm telling you, the Patriots are in trouble. Buffalo is going to put something on New England that you have not seen in a football game this weekend. Can you imagine? His dad got on a Zoom call with the Buffalo team today after DeMar woke up. And good luck, New England. And that game is in Buffalo.
It wouldn't matter. Wouldn't matter where that game was at.
It matters a little bit. It matters a little bit. It being in Buffalo is a whole different thing. Like, the Bengals and the Buffalo fans have had a camaraderie after Andy Dalton sent Buffalo to the playoffs when Cincinnati beat Baltimore about 3-4 years ago. And then all the Buffalo fans donated to Andy's charity. So there's been a little kinsmanship between the two fan bases. And then you put this on top of it. But, man, the New England's in a whole lot of trouble. I don't mean to laugh at it, but Bill Belichick is going to be sitting there like, you got to be shitting me. Like, we fighting the whole world on the road. Like, they're in trouble for their playoff lives. I just don't see them going into Buffalo and winning that game. They were already struggling. And I worried about them playing this game this weekend, period, right? But then that happens, and his first thing is, did we win? And then his dad zooms the whole Buffalo team while they're back in Orchard Park. It's over for New England. You just showing up to get a check.
Yeah, I'm gonna throw that to Rob, and that reminds me of the game that the Falcons had after Hurricane Katrina. Like, it was like we were sacrificial lamb. There's no way we were gonna win that game, right? So, but I'll throw it to Rob as far as his thoughts about the game and everything like that too. So, commenting on what you just said, Naj is on too. So Naj, we'll get you in a quick second too, man. Welcome, my friend. So it's good to have him aboard too, man. So go ahead, Rob.
Well, you know, I think JQ's perspective being there is going to top anything that we have to share, right? And so I think that was a really good perspective of, you know, witnessing from a crowd perspective. I mean, it brought me back to the Hank Gadsden situation in college basketball. I think it was back in 1989 when he collapsed on the basketball court. And in Hank's case, he actually passed away. And if you guys remember that was a heck of a Loyola Marymount team.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they were just running and gunning, scoring 130, 140 points. Yep, Bo Kimble.
Boy Kimble, yeah.
And
Bo Kimble.
That team still made it to the Elite Eight without Hank Gathers. You know, they dedicated that season to him. And, it kind of brought me back to that. And, obviously, thankfully, he's progressing in the right direction. And I know all of us have been praying. And thankfully he's heading in the right direction. It doesn't look like, well, hopefully he doesn't lose his life like the Hank did, but that's what it kind of brought me back to, the Hank Gather situation. And, it's a sport that we love. It's a dangerous game. I always say that football is a collision sport. You know, basketball is a physical sport, but football is a collision sport. And that just, it just kind of brings you back there like, man, it's definitely not a sport that you would want your son to play as much as we enjoy it. And I have a friend of mine. He's a pastor in Roswell, just north of Atlanta. He played college football at University of Tennessee, and he had an interesting perspective. He said, I love the game. I played the game, but it's definitely a game I did not want my son to play. And in that moment, just kind of, reminded me, of that situation, watching that on the other night. So, to a certain degree, I'm curious to see how all the NFL teams respond this weekend, because I think, I think a lot of teams in the league have really taken this pretty hard. And I hear just about every team has got counselors at the practice facility this week, because I think a lot of team members, a lot of football players are having a tough time dealing with what they witnessed on Monday night. So, like I said, obviously it's a game we love, and we want to see people, we don't want to see any people have a cardiac arrest on the football field. And I don't know if there was anything that could have been done to prevent that, to be honest.
I don't know if
there's anybody to blame or anything like that.
No.
And it could have been just a freak accident, right? But, But I don't really have anything else to add. Like I said, I think JQ's perspective being there was, was on point.
Yeah.
It just brought me to
we'll
the game. That was the first thing I thought about.
Yeah.
You just realize that life is so, can happen like that. And when you're dealing with these athletes that are, they're the best of the best. They're the biggest, the strongest, and the fastest of any of the athletes. And these collisions are like car accidents. That's what they are. They're big cars, and they're hitting each other. And it wasn't a dirty play. It was just an unfortunate thing that happened. in the class that those players on both sides showed, and the whole NFL.
Yeah.
Starting with the commissioner, which I haven't had a lot to you know, good to say about him, but in this instance, at this time, the whole NFL, but primarily those two teams, that took the field that day. The class was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
They banded together, like the brothers that they are, you know.
Yep.
So I was really happy to see that, and you know, you were there for history, JQ, and not really the history you wanted to see, but nevertheless, definitely history. History
crazy,
of this
man.
League, and it's something that people will not forget.
Ever.
Yep. Yeah. Go ahead, Naj. What's going on, sir? You all right, man?
Yeah, man, you know, take off the blazer, loosen up the tie. You know how it is, man. What's going on, y'all? Long time, no talk. How y'all boys doing?
What's wrong,
New Year,
bro?
New Year,
bro.
New Year. Welcome and
yeah.
Good jazz. Big
facts.
I don't know if you wanted to comment on, we were just talking about, you know, JQ was actually at the game for DeMar Hamlin, and we're just kind of like talking about that. And I was going to say this too, and JQ, I'm actually curious as far as, we were watching it, and we were curious what the people at the stadium were feeling, so I'm glad that you provided that perspective, because it was interesting, right?
So,
yeah, right?
Yeah, it was, so, it, you know, some of them made me a little mad, and I'll be honest with you, like, it was mostly a good thing in terms of the Bengals and the Bills fans. It was mostly Bengals fans, but there were Bills fans for sure. Like, hey, man, you know, we want to win this game. You guys want to win this game, but we don't want to win it like this. We don't want to see this happen. But you just had some idiots that were like, well, we win the game, right, don't we? Because we were winning and we were going to drive again. I looked at the dude and was like, we looked around like, I can't believe that dude just said that out loud. Like, how does your mind go to seating and home field advantage in this moment? But you always have some, right? Like, not 100% of the people are going to be right. But I just happened to hear it. And, of course, you know, I was there with my 12-year-old nephew, and he heard, and I was trying to make sure that he was okay, right, to see that happening in person for him.
Right.
And then hear foolish people talk around him. But it's like, you know, that's not who we are. You know, you're not like that. I'm not like that. Don't, you know, just part of the way life is. I hate you have to hear that and see this. But, you know, I'm with you, and I'll have you forever, you know, for my nephew. But it was just crazy that even people would let those kind of thoughts, you know, even – go through your mind and then let it come out your mouth, right? And it was like, you know, and other Bengals fans were here and they were like, come on, man, no, call security, get him out of here. Because we were all sitting there because they didn't show any replay. Like, they never showed the replay of the hit. They never showed the replay of that in the stadium at all. Mm-hmm. So sitting where I was sitting, they never showed the replay of that. We never saw any camera angles of Josh Allen and the Bengals players crying or the Bengals players crying. Like, it was just the scoreboard, and it was just a hush. I was just trying to figure out. So everybody's on their phone, on Twitter, like going to YouTube, TV, whatever service provider you got, right, to go to the broadcast to try to figure out what are they saying, because they're not giving us any information. And I get it. They don't want to incite a riot. They want people to go crazy in the stands, right, because it's packed. It's shoulder to shoulder.
Right.
It was wild. It just said, you know, for the most part, it reaffirms your belief in the humanity of the people who have good sense, because it was 99% of those folks. It's just that I hated to have my nephew with me, that they had to hear that 1% of people being stupid.
Right. And I'll say this, too, which is pretty interesting, because, you know, even whenever we're watching, because they only showed it a couple of times on TV, because whenever it happened, like, again, you know, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, they just kept saying, you know, this has never happened before. They throw it to the studio, and then Susie Colbert's on there, and then, you know, Booger McFarland was talking, and then it took a different tone. Like, she was trying to interview, and Booger was like, I don't know what to say. There's nothing. He was clearly distraught. And then, you know, Adam Sefer was like, it's tough. And, you know, we're trying to ask questions, and, you know, he kept saying, this never happened before. And like you said, whenever you saw, like, the first initial replay, once he tackles him, he gets up, and he thinks everything's fine. He just collapses, and that's whenever we're like, what? You know, and then, like you said, it –
right.
You know,
yeah,
you're going to show the replay. And then they were talking, they could go into commercial, go into them, and it was just like, what's going on, right?
We never saw that. And, never saw it last. The first time I saw it was the last week, somebody showed me the replay on their phone sitting next to me. They never showed it in the stadium. Never showed it.
But that's
and I get why. They never showed it.
Yeah. Like,
so y'all
had, looking at this guy.
So the
like,
crazy
man.
Thing is, y'all had more information than we had sitting in the stadium about it. Unless you were like, had the perfect angle from your seat to see it happen, you didn't know. And we were sitting there like, you know, you see the ambulance come, and you know in your mind, the ambulance comes out, you know it's messed up, but you know your mind goes to, okay, he's going to give us a thumbs up. They bring the ambulance
right,
out.
That's what I was thinking.
They're just trying to make sure that he's stabilized. They're going to take him off, and the game's going to keep going. Like I told you, I saw that chick go running after the ambulance came, and it was like, oh, my God. But even when you see that, once you don't think CPR and defibrillator is ever part of the equation or the discussion. So, like, but the thing is, I didn't have that information. Like, we had to talk to more of ourselves and get on our cell phones to even get that level of information because the Cincinnati, I get what they did that. They didn't want to perpetrate that, you know what I'm saying, show that happening and then cause a riot or unstir in the crowd. But it was, I hope to never be a part of that again. But I had never, up until that moment, seen anything like that in person at all.
Right. And this goes to show, like, all the people who's mad about cancel culture. Well, there's a good side to cancel culture. The populist things that people are upset about that have kind of tamed corporate America to where they have to think about these things and make decisions as opposed to when we were growing up, where they just would have shown the replay on that 20 times and been talking and just let it ride. But now, because people have to think about things, there's protocols there. There's, hey, should this be shown? Hey, what has just happened? We don't have enough information. Let's not speculate, and let's also not give people gross images that they're going to have to see for the rest of their lives 50 times. So they didn't do that. That's a beautiful thing. There's a quote from Joseph Stalin on this. Well, just
No, I agree.
Oh, there's a quote from Joseph Stalin that I think we all need to think about, where he said, one death is a tragedy, a million is a statistic. Now, that never made sense to me as a kid, but when you watch something like this to where people can put a face to it, people can put an idea if they followed him all season, and this is their entertainment, this is football, it's a primetime game, and that man's life stopped the whole nation. Everybody was worried about it. People was praying for this dude, started sending money to his foundation, anything they could do just because of how this moment struck them, man. Like, that's huge. That shows you that people do actually care. It's not that we're just an uncaring society who don't give a damn about anybody. So that part was a beautiful thing. I hope that kid never plays football again. I hope he gets a job as an ambassador straight in the NFL office. And I hope all that wealth that was given to him and his family, he's able to use for himself. The scary thing was him waking up and asking who won the game. That's a scary thing. And all of us on this phone have been conditioned in the same manner because we all played sports. We just didn't play it at that high level, but we all knew next man up and the game is the most important thing. That's the scary thing when you hear him say that. You know what I'm saying? On waking up, that's the thing that's on his mind. And I think all of us probably would have done the same thing because we all went through the same conditions. You know what I mean?
The thing about it is the time lapse of him. I don't know if you understand the time lapse that's happened since that injury happened to where he was able to wake up to make that statement. And again, that's scary. That he doesn't know it's been days, right? And
it's
I was
like
up
turning
there.
Off your computer. Right. Go ahead.
No, you're right. And that's wild. And, you know, like I've been up there for games and, you know, when I got back home, the only thing on TV was about DeMar, as it should have been, don't get me wrong. But, you know, you don't want to be the epicenter of the world, you know, for a small market, for anybody. But, you know, being from Cincinnati, being back home for that game and being so hyped for the game. And then I got home, all they talked about was DeMar, and they kicked it to the weather. And then went back to DeMar, and then they showed a little bit more weather. And went back to DeMar. Like, it was so just, like, out of world, out of pocket experience that was sitting there like, oh, my God. Yeah, that happened, and yes, that really happened. And we're still talking about it, and you know, like the University of Cincinnati Medical Center has never been more popular, right? Like it was just wow. After, you know, somebody that's grown up 15 minutes from it, as you know, from 0 to 18, and then moving away and coming back, and it just being front and center all day, all the time. I just don't have a whole bunch more words for it. It was crazy. It still is crazy to me.
That's Right, and the NFL, they had to dust off the rule book to figure out, okay, what are our what are the protocol here? What do we do? They had to figure that out on the fly. So the people criticizing the NFL, I think, are wrong because they're not understanding. Like, that's just bureaucracy of them trying to figure out what to do. There wasn't nothing callous or mean about it. They just figured out what their options were. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. We're all men of a certain age. 30 years from now, look, dude, this is going to be two-hand touch or flag football. This is the game we're watching right now will not last another 50 years. Not because, you know, society is just becoming soft. No, it's because every year guys are getting bigger, stronger, faster, and generation after generation. Dude, the nightmare scenario for the NFL is somebody is running one way, north and south, very fast, and a defender coming the other way at the same speed, grasps his face mask and turns his hip. Like, that's the nightmare scene that they don't want to happen. Now, it's a 1 in a billion chance, but of course, we just saw a 1 in a billion chance thing happen where somebody takes contact to the chest and then it throws off their heart rate. Like, that can happen. Like I said, I don't think we'll see this for the rest of our lives. As far as when we start to get old, I think we're going to be looking at some version of two-hand touch, flag football or something, but we're not going to be watching what we're watching now.
Right, you're right.
Real talk. I'm going to try to, again, do some semblance of a show and get through some semblance of topics because Rob took the time to put some stuff in. I'm going to say interesting because I will say this. I know we don't believe in moral victories for Ohio State JQ, but I thought Ohio State played very well. I don't even keep going back to that. I know there's some mistakes that were made and little things like that, but and you know, losing Marvin Harrison was big. You know, that was, you know, I think that was a huge blow to because they could not shut that dude down, man. That dude was electric. Just Georgia was in trouble, and it's kind of like shows you this. I was impressed to see Dish Shroud. I know we talked about that before, but that dude came to play. We're going to talk about his draft status too, Rob, because, you know, there were some questions about him. He played well. Same thing about Bryce Young. He played well. You know, obviously that whipping for Kansas State. You know, Kansas State thought they were going to do something. Then Bryce Young, you know, he may be short. That dude was lasering it across the field. So there's a lot of good things to talk about too, right? Look at Rob shaking his head over there, man. But and Rob, thanks for posting the draft too. So we can kind of bounce around about those topics too, because I know we posted the NFL mock draft. We can talk about where everyone is at with that as far as some draft outlooks for Stetson Bennett, draft outlooks for obviously for TCU Max Duggan. There's a lot of situations to talk to, man. So go ahead, man. I'll let you jump on that too, Rob. We lost the.
Is Stetson Bennett going to coach in the NFL?
Ultimately.
Hold the clip for us, Rob. Your thoughts, man.
I think that's what Stetson Bennett is going to be, the career backup in the NFL. He's got a
for
shot
real,
to get
right?
drafted, believe it or not. But, you know, he's probably somewhere between the 5th to 7th rounder right now. But he's a career backup in the National Football League. As JQ just mentioned, somebody like a Chase Daniels just keep making money. You know, but ultimately, it's probably best to be a Frank Wright, right? You know, the backup quarterbacks turn out to be coaches, right? You know, you look at a lot of these guys, they turn out to be coaches in the National Football League. Ultimately, that's probably where he is. Max Duggan, I kind of have him in the same ballpark, anywhere from a 5th rounder. Max actually might even go undrafted, you know. Yeah, but I think Stetson could be somewhere between the 5th to 7th rounder. I think Max is somewhere between the 5th to an undrafted guy. So those are your starting quarterbacks in the national championship game. You know, obviously, you know, as much as I hate Alabama, but Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud would have been the quarterbacks you want to see, you know, competing for a national title, right? But you got Stetson Bennett and you got Max Duggan. And that Ohio State-Georgia game was the national championship game. You know, they were the two, even though Michigan beat Ohio State, Georgia and Ohio State were the two most talented teams in the playoffs. And they played like it in that game the other night. So I clearly expect Georgia to win in this game. I think they win by at least 10 points. In this game, so I certainly expect them to pull it out. But that was the that was the national championship game. Obviously, no one thought TCU would be where they are when the season started. No one thought they would win the Big 12. No one thought they would be in the college football playoff. No one thought they would be in the college football championship game. let alone in the playoffs. So a huge surprise on their front. But Quentin Johnson is a guy to watch, wide receiver. He's got a chance to be the top 15 pick in the draft. He's been a huge threat for them. And how about three Alabama transfers going to TCU?
Yeah.
They went to transfer portal and they transferred to TCU. Obviously, these are three guys that weren't playing at Bama, but they were still highly recruited and, you know, hoping for, you know, getting the second chance with a program like TCU. But as far as the draft, I still have Bryce Young as the number one quarterback. I like Stroud's size better, but Young overall has the accuracy, and that's what scouts are looking at right now. But I do like Stroud's size, and obviously that game against Georgia really helped him win against an elite defense like Georgia.
Yeah.
So still plenty of time to dissect and still plenty of time for that change to possibly happen. But I have Young going number one overall right at the moment, and I think I have Stroud going number four overall.
Yeah, that was tough. I don't make the show about me. Yeah, that was tough because I was a little lit. I walked into the suite. I told him, I was a bad guy because I was in a suite full of Georgia fans, and I had the flag I just had. So I talked to a lot of trash for about 58 minutes and 33 seconds or whatever the hell it was. so they lost that game at the end. But I agree. He just tried to show the whole lot. And I think that game you talked about, that game changed when Marvin Harrison got hurt because they had no answer for Marvin Harrison Jr. He was out there doing what he wanted in that game.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
I like that hit.
Yeah, no, it is what it is. But, you know, but they also lost McIntosh early in the game, tied in for Georgia. But, you know, it was a good game. Don't get me wrong. I had a ball for about most of it. But to watch us lose right after, you know, I'm out there with my friends and, you know, I get to go ahead for my wife. She's like, FaceTime me when it's time for the ball to drop. And, of course, we lose right when the ball sails wide left at the stroke of midnight. I said, this is – maybe it's just me. Maybe I should come to the more games. What's going on?
I wanted to see Ohio State missing a rematch. That's what I was actually pulling for the national championship. I wanted to see a rematch.
I mean, you both. But, again, you know, being in Georgia, playing at the Georgia, you know, playing at the Benz, behind enemy lines, we, you know, there was a lot of Ohio State fans, but, of course, it was majority Georgia. It was still a good game. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad I got to go see it. Of course, I wish we had won. But I feel like they, you know, showcased themselves well that, you know, they could still show up and be a good team given all the stuff that's happened. But, yeah, that was tough to deal with, and I'm still dealing with it because I get all the text messages from my Georgia fans down here. So it is what it is. I just got to
go down.
Yeah, get deeper in the playoffs. Yeah.
We got your back. We got your back, man.
Yeah.
I'll let Gary speak of that. I was at a wedding really quickly, and a lot of the people were from Ohio. So it was like they were watching the game. It was New Year's Eve. Same thing happened. They're like, you got to play Hang On Sloopy. I'm like, yep. So, you know, you probably heard that, right? That's like the classic, right? You know, like, oh,
yep.
I was going nuts. Like, yeah, because they were like,
yeah.
And, you know, their whole interview dropped, you know, at New Year's because it was like, whoa. I was like, I'm sorry, guys. Yeah, so, but it was just good to see that, man. Just see them try to play well. But, Gary, your thoughts, my friend.
So, Rob, you give TCU no chance, huh, in this game? Rob?
Zero.
Oh, I mean, it's always – so you said it is a chance. It's always a chance. I'm just predicting that they're going to lose. But I'm pulling for them. I actually want TCU to win the game.
I tell you what,
I do too.
They can win that game.
I think it's going to be a good game, and I think TCU's. I'm going with TCU in this game.
Yes,
5-3.
You picking TCU, JQ?
Yes, sir. Fuck them. Let's go TCU.
Absolutely.
That may be with his heart.
Now, that
was
I know you're rooting for him, but you actually predicted him to win, too?
I'm going with TCU.
Okay.
I said it.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I hope you're right on this one. I'm going to be pulling for TCU.
Y'all know no, but honestly, like you know what? TCU, the way they play ball is the way that you're going to have to beat Georgia. You're going to spread them out. You're not going to run down their throat. The defensive line for Georgia is too tough, the linebackers. They got one really good quarterback in Ringo. The other ones can be had. Can you move him around, you know, on offense, TCU wide receiver? But they can spread him out, make him defend sideline to sideline. It's going to have to be a shootout for them to win. They're not going to win. Their defense will struggle. We all know that. The way they beat Michigan is the way they're going to have to beat Georgia. So, but, yeah, that firepower that TCU possesses, if TCU was a team that won the Big 12 by running the ball and playing their brand of defense, that wouldn't work versus Georgia. Their brand of ball, a spread you out, track me style of offense, is the only chance they have against Georgia, but that's what they do. And that's why I'm going to predict them to win.
Well,
I think the key
is
going to be protecting
the quarterback. Screaming on the Georgia DBs all week. I don't know if Duggan finishes this game, man. This is going to be dangerous for him. And like,
on,
you know, I wish Michigan would have won. I prefer Michigan to be there. But that Ohio State game, the thing that became ultimately clear was Georgia is arrogant as hell, and they risked getting back-to-back championships because they wanted to roll that boy out at quarterback again because of tradition and because, you know, he's the beloved son down here. When in actuality, they could just roll a five-star athlete back there at quarterback and just beat you up, and then they would guarantee wins. By having him back there, they actually put things up in the air and make it to where they can be beaten. But ultimately, I don't know if the fan base is ready for a certain type of quarterback back there. Shout out to DJ Shockley for those who don't understand what I'm talking about. So with UGA, man, this is made just harder than it had to be. The Justin Fields story is that story is crazy now when you look back at it. But, dude, that Ohio State game, dude, they balled out. And the thing that sticks out, y'all got to remember this, because I'm a Midwest boy no matter what. Every Big Ten team, when it comes to the playoffs, win or lose, every Big Ten fan, most of them won't admit this, but they want to show well against the SEC so they don't have to hear about the SEC dominance and that they're not on that same elite level. This game proves they got athletes too. They're all on the same level. Matter of fact, if Marvin Harrison doesn't get knocked out of that game, I'm not sure if he sets a record that night because they could not do anything with him.
After those DBs get cussed out all week,
good luck. Good luck, TCU.
You get cussed out, but you can't keep up with him, motherfucker. It ain't going to help, man.
The key to the game is going to be can they protect Max Duggan in this game? And it's, you know, we talked about Jalen Carter in the interior, but can you protect against the edge rusher that Georgia's going to have in this game? So that's going to be the key. Obviously, when you spread out the offense, you know, your protection becomes really huge. And so their protection schemes are going to have to be really sound in this game against Georgia for them to have a shot, particularly on the edge, right? They're going to have to protect against those edge rushers from Georgia. I think that's going to be the key if TCU is going to have a shot at winning this game. Because Max Duggan can give them the ball. There's no doubt about that. But it's going to come down to the protection.
Because Ohio State has Terrence Johnson Jr. He's going in the top 15 in the draft. So that also helps Ohio State in that game. Because they still gave up 41 to Ohio State. Like, they still gave up 41.
But
think about
both of those guys are going to get drafted in the first two rounds. So, I mean, you got two guys that's, you know, one going around one, the other one going around two. So it's really going to come down to the protection schemes. If TCU can protect the quarterback, I agree with you. They got a shot because I think perimeter,
but
they can get open.
Yeah, but even with those first and second round grade tackles, at a certain point they decided, okay, we can't run anything inside. It's not going to get us anything. And they just gave up on it. I mean, that lets you know what type of hell you're dealing with when dealing with those guys in the trenches, man. And I just don't see them being able to protect Duggan. I think he's going to go down fighting because that's a tough kid. But, this is going to get ugly.
But Duggan's more of a runner than Stroud is, so you got to give him that ability that if you spread those guys out, and especially if you play a man and you start running back with those dudes in coverage, you're not looking at Duggan, and he breaks that first line of scrimmage, he can get you more yards than Stroud can only give you. Because Stroud is just – he looks like he should be able to run, but that mofo can't run. Dugan can run. that's you just look at Stroud, like he should be able to run, but he can't really run. Dugan can actually run. So if you can do that, he can get away from that first line and break it and have that open space, he can do more with it than CJ Stroud can. I'm not saying that CC doesn't have an uphill battle, so they do.
Yeah, how many times you want to do that, though? Good luck. Those guys close quick.
But that's how TCU's been winning, though. It's been him doing that and breaking containment. Instead of throwing the ball away, get 5 yards, get 6 yards. Instead of it being first, second and 10, it's second and 4. It's third and 1.
Yep.
And then now you keep yourself ahead of the chains, you give yourself a chance. You can't be in second and 10 and third and 12. His ability to run is what keeps them on schedule with in terms of their play calling. And that's what I think gives TCU a chance to win this game.
And I think the problem is that was against Iowa State, Kansas, Kansas State, Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Weber State, Jackson Hole, Wyoming. I mean, he's
not Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Shut up.
I mean, those are the teams he was doing that against.
Where did that come from?
Georgia defense.
He's making it up, Gary. I will say this. Do not forget. Yes, TCU does run a funky defense at 3-3-5. So they are going to make Stetson, you know, kind of like, you know, they're going to drop all those guys in coverage. He's got to be patient with those throws, too. You know, they do have a singular defense, too, man. So now they can run.
They might just run the ball 35 times.
Yeah, yeah. But that's what
that's
too.
I was thinking.
We'll think
that's
about
what
that. Yeah, but again,
hey, I want TCU to win. Y'all know that. I don't like Georgia, but it's hard for me to predict them to win, though. I want them to win.
Oh, gosh, man. That's hilarious. Really quickly about, we got a couple minutes. I don't know if you guys, we got a little some time extra words, too. Thank you for the mock draft, Rob. We'll talk about that a little later, too. We got to jump off a little early, you know, at the same time.
I got some extra time.
Okay, we actually we'll talk about that too because we're gonna rush up against this. We want to talk about some things too. Rob, anything you want to talk about for the mock draft as far as special? Because you know I love the fact that you post this on the page. I know you always talk about our guys for our teams, if you will, too. So we kind of highlight that. We got about 3 minutes before the top of the hour before a girl starts kicking it in too. So we'll keep that in there. And
wait a minute, Dre. Can we do those two quick NFL predictions and then do the draft afterwards so he can have more time in the
Absolutely. Go ahead. Do those real quickly.
Yeah, so I was going to say, I'm gonna take the Bengals and fuck the Ravens. And I'm gonna take the Eagles just because I don't think the Giants have anything to play for. They're locked in the sixth seed. There's no reason to get Daniel Jones hurt. And if I'm the Giants, I relish the opportunity to play Minnesota in the first round.
Oh,
that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. But, yeah, I agree with you there. I think the Bengals wins at home. And now that the NFL is saying that, you know, if the Ravens win this game and the Ravens and Bengals have to play in the playoffs, they're going to flip a coin. So I think that makes the game even more important for the Bengals to win. And the Bengals on the road going into that Buffalo game. But they were playing as good as any team in the league. And so I hope that momentum – I hope they don't lose anything that from what happened with the game the other night. But, yeah, I like that Bengals team. They were, like I said, heading in the right direction. And I agree with you. It's a must-win game for the Eagles. Hopefully Jalen Hurts is healthy. Now that he's not playing against my Saints. So but I hope he's back this week so they can beat the Giants. But ladies and gentlemen, y'all recognize the music. That's the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in. To another great edition with Talking Sports with the 12th Man. I believe on next week we're going to be back at you on our regularly scheduled night of Tuesday night right after the national championship game. So East Coast, Philadelphia, Atlanta, you know, Eagles fans, Georgia Bulldogs fans, want to hear from y'all on Tuesday night. It's going to be 11 p.m. Eastern. Central Time Zone, TCU in Dallas. It's going to be 10 p.m. So Central Time
work,
Zone.
Baby.
Yep, and Jackson Hole, Wyoming, that's going to be 9 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. I know y'all dogs got y'all defense. And then West Coast, California, Portland, Seattle, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Make sure you tune in on next week. Good night, people.
Well, y'all ready to take?
Is Jackson Hole Mountain
present.
Time, or are they Central Time?
They're Mountain Time.
Are you sure? You're not sure.
I'm positive. I'm positive.
Okay.
I'm very sure.
Well, I think Cincinnati's going to beat the.
I think Cincinnati's going to beat the
Ravens, and I'm praying to God that the Giants, along with the Schaefer Rex, beat the Eagles.
You know that's not going to happen, man. You know that's not going to happen.
Hey, that's a division game, and don't think it's going to be a walk in the park for the Eagles because it's not.
They're not going to play them. They are locked into the sixth seed. Why would you play Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones when you can't improve your season? What do you get out of it?
The Tyrod Taylor game. Beating the Eagles.
I know what you're saying. If they were going to play everybody straight up, that's a different point. But if I'm the Giants, why do I play anybody worth a damn in that game? But I know I can't get any better or worse than the 60.
Well, you said one person that was worth a damn because Daniels isn't. Anyway, go ahead. That's a different topic for a different time.
For them, he is. The games that they won to even get that 60, they done with rubber, cement, glue, duct tape, and everything else to kind of slide into that slot. So when you look at their backups and that's what they have to roll out, yeah, Philly's going to beat the hell out of them. And then as far as Baltimore and Cincinnati, man, come on, dude. Tyler Huntley, have y'all watched Tyler Huntley's work?
He's trash.
Shout out to him for confusing us last year and getting over a little bit. But, yeah, Tyler Huntley, yeah, man, that thing is a wrap, dude. And God forbid if Lamar tries to come back for that. Hopefully he sits out and negotiates his contract.
No, he is.
But
the problem is that the Bengals are going to have to play them in back-to-back weeks, and that's what sucks for them, given what's happened with the no contest rule of it, is that they don't have an opportunity to move into the two or maybe the one seed, depending on what happens with Kansas City. But they're holding Lamar out for that playoff game. So if you can't be Tyler Huntley, I don't know what to tell you. But like I talked about for Buffalo, I think Cincinnati is going to feel the same way. Like, we got gypped a little bit, and those dudes beat us earlier in the year. And we got something to prove. But if you're the Giants, you don't have anything else left to do. I want Minnesota. You got to remember, Minnesota had to hit a 62-yard field goal at the end to beat the Giants a couple of weeks ago for that game. So that game was really close. It came down to a field goal, a 60-plus-yard field goal for the Minnesota to win that game. If I'm the Giants, I feel comfortable of, hey, let's just be healthy. We took that team in Minnesota to the brink. I feel like like we can beat those dudes. Like, you got to feel that way if you're the Giants. So why risk anything? That's why I know that hurts you, Gary. But if you're the Giants, you don't have anything
to do. Well, we'll
talk
about this next week. We'll talk about this next week, and you guys can apologize then.
No, come on, bro. They are not losing to the Giants.
All right. So surprise. If I didn't tell you guys, we're going to be going to Portugal. So we'll be flying out Sunday. So that's what's happening for a full 7 days. We'll be in Portugal next week. So unless it is a 5-hour time difference from here. So I don't know how we're going to coordinate that. We'll see. But that's part of the birthday gift, by the way. But that's why we'll
enjoy
be
your vacation, bro.
We can figure out. So,
hell yeah.
Just,
I love Portugal. You want to listen?
Enjoy that.
I don't know if you heard if you listened to the first part of the show, but I wanted to let you know that Curtis passed away.
Oh shit! Damn. No, I didn't hear the first part. I just called in the middle of the show.
Yeah. So if you get a chance to listen to it. I talked about Curtis a little bit, and I'd love for you to hear what I had to say. You know, he was battling ALS, and he lost his battle on the 21st. And I just wanted you to know because, as you know, my brothers here on the show, you know, you're one of my brothers on the show, and Curtis and I always enjoyed when you would pop in on the show and give us this perspective that none of us have ever been talking about, and it happens pretty much every time you're on it, and we really appreciate that. We really appreciated that. So I wanted to thank you for that.
Damn, man, you over here, damn, you're going to make me cry over here, man. Damn, Doug, I can't believe that. Shit.
Yeah. We've gone through some emotions on the show, Naj, and every time you pop on, like you said, it's all, I know the number. It's like, oh, this is my guy, because you bring such a unique perspective, as Derek said, too. So it's always something. And we talked about that. We have heavy hearts, but we're grateful at the time to understand that just, you know, how precious life is, too. So, you know, in honor of Chris, we're always going to fight. I say, hey, if I make if I say his name out of as a mistake, it's just because, you know, we're going to chalk it up just to, you know, him in our hearts and stuff like that, too, you know. But it's going to take some time. But we're pushing on because of him, and he's just been such an amazing individual for us to kind of talk with for the show, too. So it's just been one of those things, man. So we appreciate, you know, that tribute that Gary did, which was passionate and powerful and everything like that, for sure. So
yeah. Absolutely.
So.
Man, rest in peace, man. Damn, that is terrible, man. Like, yeah. Dude, this past 2 years, dude, all of y'all, when y'all get old, your grandchildren are going to ask you about this past little two-year window, just the things you've seen, the people you've seen pass. Like, God, this is
crazy. Yeah. Yeah. We lost some people, too. Yeah. So it's been nuts. But, you know, we're going to try to, you know, get through some positivity and just, you know, just like you said, as Rod mentioned the Jazz funeral, which I thought was fantastic for New Orleans, how they kind of start off, and then it's a celebration. Because even as a DJ, like, I think about this, man, I want y'all to celebrate, man. It's just like, you know, I've had such a fun time, and, you know, do a shot for Curtis, you know, and his greatest stuff, man. That's what it's all about. So we're going to remember him times, and just he's had an amazing life, you know. So that's what we can take away for sure. You know, Gary has had more intimacy with him in his life, but just from him being able to interact, it's been a joy. So that's what I can say for sure. So, yeah. Thank you, Gary, for that. I was going to mention that too. I'm glad you're able to segue that back in too. I wanted to let Naj know about that too. Good stuff. We're going to, I promise I won't take you guys time, but, you know, it's always hard to make a transition from this too. Rob, man, you can talk about the draft, your thoughts, and I know you kind of highlight us and all that fun stuff too, because it's been an interesting year, so it is back on you, my friend.
Well, this is the first mock that I've done where I've actually put teams next to players' names for this 2023 draft. Now that we're kind of getting close to the end of the season and kind of know where some teams may be slotted. Obviously, there's still some changes that's going to take place after this week and then the playoffs. But, you know,
if the Bengals ain't number 32, then I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, I won't talk about the Bengals then. I don't have 32 yet.
I'm just messing with you. Go ahead, bro. I'm listening.
And this year, there's only 31 picks in the first round because Miami had to forfeit the first round pick.
That's
so
right.
So there's only 31 picks. So you want to be 31 because 32 is the first pick of the second round.
Yeah, I definitely don't want that shit. I might. If we move back up to get somebody good that follows, I might want that pick, but you're right. I'm sorry. I'm just messing with you.
I know. But, yeah, as far as the Falcons are concerned, I got them at number 7 right now. I got them picking edge rusher Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. He's been really good as a pass rusher these last 2 years. He could be an edge rusher in the 3-4. He actually – to put on a little bit more weight, need to be a 5 technique in a 3-4, depending on what your defense coordinator preference is. So he's got a little bit of flexibility there for you. He got him there at number 7 position. But I think when it comes down to Atlanta, too, have you seen enough of Desmond Ridder, too? Do you try to get a quarterback there? Because early returns are, he don't look like he's the answer.
Will Levis.
And so... You know, I know it's kind of tough to tell.
Just
maybe they should have got a little earlier look. But that's going to be the interesting thing there with Atlanta. Do you try to get another free agent in there, or you try to move up in the draft? You might get into the top 5. I mean, you got Stroud going number 4 right now. And I have Will Levis going right after Atlanta. Let's see, I have Will Levis going to Las Vegas at number 8. So do you take your chance there?
Yep.
And then in the second round, I got Atlanta taking Tavontre Sweat, big defensive tackle from Texas. So I got him going defensive line, stop the run and the pass rush on both their first 2 picks. So that's what I have.
Can I say this, Rob,
really
quickly? Can I say this, Rob?
Yeah.
Can I say this, Rob, really quickly? I was going to say, you know, I like Wilson, really scared about Miles Murphy, man, because, you know, the Clemson guy, I know we talk about Vic Beasley, you know, that's kind of like in our crawl, right? But then it's a different guy, right? But then you're like, damn, is that the same guy? But now you're kind of like, you have this kind of like, eh, you know, you're not sure, right? They're the Clemson guy. I know it could be he'd be a totally different guy, more explosive. I mean, but now you're kind of like, you know, you don't know. But that's why I like Wilson at that, because that thing. But it's kind of tough because.
But you got A.J. Terrell from Clemson, and he's pretty good at cornerback. He's also Clemson.
That different position, but I see what you're saying. But I'm just saying that that's still in the back of people's heads about that pick. Like, I'd rather get Wilson because at least he looks the part. He's 6'6", 275, like you said. I like Sika, the nose tackle from the big guy. I forgot where he's from, but that's the guy I like for the second round pick too. Because he's a big guy, man, for nose tackle. That's the guy that I'd like in the second round. But again, you trade down and get some extra picks. Yeah, that's the guy I like, man, for the second round too, man. But again, I know you got to go a little later on in the round.
I got him going 48 to Detroit right now.
Yeah, and I'm worried about the if there's another quarterback that can or somebody quarterback hungry team. Because, you know, like I said, if Stroud is out there, and I know what everyone's saying, like Desmond Ridder, he doesn't do anything, he doesn't look like the part. But it's like, well, you know, you gotta figure out what you're gonna do. You know, at least build a solid defense,
man,
or build the line around.
Listen,
and make them do.
If the Falcons draft CJ Stroud, I'm getting that jersey the next day.
We got a fan.
Hey, man, you're the same
fan.
Dude that didn't think Stroud was the answer. You used to complain about him not running when he first started.
I don't care. I'm getting that number 7 Stroud jersey if it goes to Atlanta. I'm getting the red one. With the white number on it, I'm going to get it.
Oh,
next day, 100%.
Hey, JQ,
I
hate to be the bad guy and say this, but look, I love the projection he gave for the Falcons draft. I think that's the mode they should take. When there's a draft with little guys at the top of the board for quarterbacks, I say you don't move up. I say you move up in an Andrew Luck draft. When it's guys that are – you got questions about whether they can hold up and whether their size is going to be an issue. That's why you don't do it.
CJ's not small. Bryce Young is small.
He's a little fella.
Bryce Young is small.
That's all I'm saying.
He's not small now.
I wouldn't do it.
He's 6'3".
He's 6'3". Yeah, he's not small.
Yeah, he's not like now Bryce Young is active.
Is he 6'3"?
That's one thing about Bryce.
I remember
in
our program, I was listed at 6'2".
Bryce is small.
When I was trying to get them colleges to come through, I was 6'2".
Bryce might be 5'10", maybe it's. CJ's all of that.
Bryce is young, but I'm just saying. Yeah. But go ahead. I'm just if you're looking at it.
It don't matter if we get the jersey. Is all I'm saying. If you go to Atlanta, I'm getting the jersey.
But, JQ, all I'm saying is go by the chart. When it comes to moving up that far in the draft, you know the price you have to pay. I'm saying
No. I didn't say move up. If he's there, you take him, I'd be happy about it. But, yeah, if Atlanta goes offensive or defensive line in the first or second round in terms of value, I think that's a good move for Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see. This is the thing. I'm gonna let Rob get back because Rob, if you've been holding off. But Rob, this is gonna be interesting because there's gonna be some interesting teams, right? You know that the Texans number one, they're gonna lock down Bryce Young. We pretty much know that unless something crazy happens.
Yeah. Or CJ Stroud,
man.
You know,
I wouldn't
rule out CJ Stroud
number one.
Right now. Though.
But watch out for the Colts, man. They're probably gonna be some players, right? Because they are not gonna keep going to no more.
Yeah.
That's some nonsense. They're going to be like, we got to get this shit over with. So they're going to figure out some
Houston,
way how to get up there.
Houston's taking Bryce because all of that, hey, take a dude and take his college wide receiver. They already took Mechie. You pair him with Bryce Young. They followed the whole Burrow Chase kind of thing. Like, I see that happening. And, I mean, if that's what they do, that's fine. I think you go ahead and put that in Sharpie. I think Bryce is going to Houston.
I'm saying, unless something crazy happens,
hey.
Colts, that's the team. I'm
I think Houston is listening. I'm hoping somebody makes it.
I tell you, another team to not rule out with taking the quarterback in the first round, and y'all may think I'm crazy for saying this, but it's Arizona. Don't rule out Arizona taking the quarterback. Right now I got number 4. Don't rule out Kyler Murray might be out the entire season. I don't think their organization is sold on them. Cliff Kingsbury may not be the head coach there next season either. So it's a really good chance that he may get fired this offseason.
Wait a minute. Arizona can't fire their GM, they coach, and draft the quarterback in the first round. That is an 0-3 when you just extended all those dudes this past year. Dude, fire Really, Arizona? If they do that, that will be so bad.
Don't rule it out. Now, I agree with Andre. The coach will probably be the favorite to get their second QB as of now, but don't rule out Arizona. There's going to be a lot of flux and a lot of changes.
Oh.
And when you get a new regime in there, the new regime may not be sold on Kyler Murray, right? They may figure out a way to get out of that contract.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
we at least want to see Kyler outside of that Tecmo Bowl offense
not
going to
be there.
Kingsbury. That's true.
That's true.
We're going to let Rob get out of here.
I'm sorry. I'll be cool. I'll be quiet.
My bad.
There's some quarterbacks, Rob, like, because we talk about some quarterbacks, and look at Gary, because, like, you know, the Anthony Richardson's of the world, they dropped. Will Levis, where the hell he came from, you know, and now you got to look at what's happening with, you know, Henderson Hooker.
He's
some quarterbacks,
not
right?
Josh,
you know, that,
Allen. Stop it with Will Levis. He's going to suck, too, just like Anthony
Richardson.
No, you've seen him play.
Fired.
Stop it.
Will Levis going to get somebody
Watch
fired.
The field.
No, I'm with you. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying.
Henderson is 37 years old.
Go ahead.
Who? Paul Herndon Hooker? I said Levis is going to get somebody fired, and your boy Hooker is 37 years old. That's all I
said. I'm kidding. I'm 12.
I got Hooker going in the second round.
Go ahead, Rob.
I got Hooker going in the second round.
That's good.
I know JQ don't want to hear Cincinnati, but I got the Bengals taking Cam Smith, cornerback, South Carolina. He's one of the top cornerbacks in the SEC this past season. Somehow they still getting by with Eli Apple at the cornerback position.
So I
got him taking Cam Smith in the first round. And check this out. I got the Bengals taking another LSU receiver in the second round, Kayshon Boutte. They're not going to be football receiver. So I got to take another wide receiver.
Good night,
in the second round. Yeah. So as far as the Cowboys are concerned, I got them taking Isaiah Foskey, edge rusher from Notre Dame, in the first round at 27. Andre and I got a good close up on him in that game, and yeah, Andre was freezing. He had to drink about 3 or 4 hot chocolates to stay warm. But I got to take an Isaiah Foskey, edge rusher from Notre Dame. And in the second round, I got Dallas taking Malachi Moore, safety from Alabama, in the second round.
Mm.
Unfortunately, my Saints don't have a first-round pick, so in the second round, I got us taking wide receiver from SMU, Rashee Rice, speedy wide receiver with size. I think the Saints finally give up on Michael Thomas. Third straight year, he's practically been out, Mr. Slant Man, so he's probably going to be gone. Chris Olave is having a really good rookie season, and has a chance to be offensive rookie of the year in the NFL. And then we got a surprise wide receiver, Rashid Shaheed, undrafted out of San Diego State. I mean, he's been a flat-out burner for the Saints. And so you got two rookie receivers, but you're going to need another one. Jarvis Landry couldn't stay healthy this year. Michael Thomas couldn't stay healthy. So they're going to need a weapon. So I got to take a Rashid Rice, wide receiver from SMU in the second round, to give him another weapon. They're going to have to figure out the quarterback.
Jarvis Landry couldn't stay healthy or get open. Yeah, it was rough for him. And I just want to say, though,
I can't argue with that. He's absolutely right.
That boy, Kayshon Boutte, is a good man, because anybody else would have beat the hell out of Jaden Daniels. That man took money out of his pocket as being a great rushing quarterback, but not a man who could get him the ball like we know Kayshon Boutte can actually do. He's going to be the steal of his draft, man. If he falls to the second, my God, that's a problem.
He might fall all the way to the bottom of the second to go to Cincinnati.
Yeah, well, you know, here's the deal with Boutte. I think Nas, you made a good point there. But I also think, you know, him coming off that torn ACL, he got off to a really slow start this year. Boutte had a lot of drops early in the year. I agree with you. He could really be a steal, because prior to this season, he could have been a top 10 pick in this draft. So he has the potential to really be a steal. But I think part of it was the ACL injury. You know, sometimes it just takes guys 2 years to recover from that completely. And so I think that had a lot to do with him this season, because Malik Nabers, wide receiver from LSU, I mean,
yes,
he's Jaden Daniels. And you saw him in the bowl game against Purdue.
His homeboy.
He beat Purdue up. Yeah.
Yeah.
He, so I agree with you, but I think part of it was the ACL injury that that was the reason why Boutte fell off a little bit.
So I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I know you jumped on for our benefit. Can you give me, like, your top 12? Because I'm just interested after these bowl games how you have them slotted after what we saw.
Yep. And my top 12, we talked about Bryce Young already. I got him going number one. I got Jalen Carter going number two, defensive tackle from Georgia to the Bears. I got Will Anderson, edge rusher, Alabama, going to Seattle. Got C.J. Stroud, four. Got Miles Murphy, edge rusher from Clemson, going five. I got Bryson Breezy, defensive tackle from Clemson, going six. I already talked about Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech. Going to the Falcons. Will Levitz, got him going to Vegas at number eight. And I got Keely Ringo, cornerback from Georgia, to pair him up with Joe Horn's son. Having a pretty good cornerback.
J.C.
Horn in Carolina. Peter Skoronski, offensive tackle from Northwestern, got him going to Philly at 10. Anthony Richardson, quarterback, got him going 11. And then Joey Porter Jr., cornerback, Penn State, number 12. So that's what I have right now as my top 12. And Joey Porter, Houston got two first-round picks. Right now I got number one, number 12. They get Bryce Young at one, Joey Porter Jr. at 12. And you know you got
Derek Stingley
from LSU. Yeah, Pedro Stingley, that could be a dynamic duo at the cornerback position. And they have both of them have NFL genes in those butt lines too, singly and poorly.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to see that shit happen.
Can we get somebody
to go to the NFC? Like, I need more people to go to the NFC. I'm tired of the AFC getting all the good people, man. Fuck this. Go to the AFC, the NFC. I'm tired of it.
And can I say this? If Anthony Richardson figures it out, we're going to all look back on this draft and say, why the hell didn't he go number one? I take the shot on him. If I'm one of those teams and he falls to me, I take the shot, man. That's a project worth projecting on.
He's going
so
to
you can go 9
based
and 8?
On his talent.
Mm-hmm. Come on, man.
I don't know.
Y'all got to stop this SEC stuff with these quarterbacks. Florida has talent. If he was that guy, Florida would have been a better team. It wasn't like he was down there with a whole bunch of Rudy Poops down there in Gainesville. He ain't that dude. Neither is Will Love. Stop it. Just because they got good size, they can run fast and throw it to the goalpost. Can they read coverage on second and seven? No. That's why their teams suck. Come on, man. Can we be for real?
Yeah, you can learn.
But
man,
you,
that's
JQ, you know better than you
that
know.
Yeah, yeah, you should have learned it from high school to college.
You know this just as well as we do. There are going to be some coaches out there. They're going to think they can coach these guys up based on their talent. And let's face it, Josh Allen was a project coming out of Wyoming, coming out of Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
He was a project coming out of Wyoming. And
he went to Wyoming. Who did he have around him in Wyoming? You talking about dudes that went to the SEC? One that went to Florida that had all the Florida talent, and they were still terrible. Come on, man. Stop comparing them to that.
I hear you, JQ, but this is what I'm saying. Every front office should have a protocol of if Anthony Richardson falls to this, we're willing to trade up to go get him. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying you draft that guy number one because, of course, like you said, that's not his grade because his tape doesn't show that. The flaws are there. But that physical ability, same similar to Josh Allen. Dude, if you get that right.
You know what? Josh Allen gets a whole bunch of GMs fired. Oh, he looks just like Josh Allen. He looks like Josh Allen. He ain't Josh Allen.
Uh-oh.
You get your ass fired drafting that dude in the first round. Go ahead and go get him. Go and get him.
Well, go
get
go
fired.
Run Josh Allen's rookie tape.
He went
go
to Wyoming.
Rookie tape before they fixed him.
So, okay. Well, listen, wow. If you are right, I would get on here, and the first thing I would say is Quan was wrong and you was right. But these dudes are playing the SEC with the SEC talent, and they suck. And we've been waiting on Levis and Anthony Richardson to be good, not for just this year, but for the past 2 years, 2.5 years, and they're still the same guy. So at one point, do we not say that's just who they are?
Gary, are you happy with
worst case scenario, those teams could have the next Taysom Hill. Just put them on there to run the ball.
Here we go, this guy.
Bring out Driscoll.
God.
Just let the quarterback run. Have 10 blockers.
Listen, I would come on here and I would own it. I have been wrong. I've been wrong before. I would come on here and own it. But these dudes have played in high-caliber games against high-caliber competition for years now. And we're waiting on them to make a leap. Oh, that's Richardson. Make a leap. We'll let make a leap. And they just come out here and they're still the same dude. And, I mean, I give Levis a somewhat of a pass because Kentucky is trying to be in the SEC competition. But Florida, they don't even have to recruit outside the state of Florida. They get 4- and 5-star recruits. Because they're in the state of Florida, those dudes are from the state of Florida, and they don't want to move. And they all go to Florida, and they still are terrible.
JQ,
I hear
your face, man.
All I'm saying is when Bryce Young walks in the room, and then Anthony Richardson walks in the room, and they do the interview, and they do that handshake, and that big giant hand engulfs the hand of the coach, and they see that big arm, you telling me what you know about NFL coaches, and somebody's going to say, I can fix them. Like, that's just what coaches do. Shout out to Jay Cutler. How many people tried to fix Jay Cutler?
Jay Cutler, again, proving my point. Zach Wilson had a great pro day. He was terrible. Look at that pro day throw. Let's draft Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
Where's Jess at?
They're not the same as far as athletes, though. That dude Richardson is an athlete, man. I'm just saying.
He might be Felipe Franks.
Yeah. We'll see. But
I'm better than Felipe Franks. Like I said, worst case scenario, you put him in back there to Taysom Hill, let him run the ball. It's okay.
Taysom Hill, Felipe Franks, same thing.
Oh, shout out to Taysom Hill for winning me a bunch of fantasy leagues this year because in the later rounds, I took Taysom at tight end, and man, it paid off.
Yeah, you can play him a tight end.
That guy's a nightmare. That's a smart move. That's a smart move, Naj. Gary, are you happy with the picks for the Cowboys, by the way? Robbie?
Yeah, you know, this is the first seven for the year. Edge rusher from Notre Dame, a safety from Alabama. Good job, Rob. I'm happy with it.
Yeah, now all we got to do is turn off Jerry's phone service.
How about if we beef up our offensive line on this next round?
Yep, sir.
You just spent the first round pick on the offensive line this past year.
That's right. We need another one or two.
Don't we all?
The elephant in the room is what are we going to do with Cooper Rush, man? He's there, man. I'm just saying, you know, there's a backup waiting to get signed, man. So who knows, man? What's that with Cooper Rush, man?
J-E-T-S. Jets.
Sorry. Somebody's going to give. There's a lot of quarterback needy teams.
Mike White.
And there's only two quarterbacks in this draft that are clear cut ready to go be starters day one.
Right. So if you
the Mike White train crashed and burned
shout out to
in Seattle.
New England. Yeah, so if you can hustle somebody with Cooper Rush, yeah, take the pick all day. Do it immediately. Matter of fact, drive him to the airport. Get it done because he is not good, but somebody's going to overpay for him. Shout
somebody
out to Jimmy G.
Right. You know, Jimmy G, Cooper Rush, these guys, I mean, Derek Carr. Somebody's going to overpay for these guys because there's some quarterback needy teams. I mean, and there's not enough to go around to all these teams. I mean, you talk about the Jets. You're talking about the Falcons. You talk about the Saints. You talk about the Texans. You talk Carolina Panthers. And, I mean,
you remember talking about the Seahawks?
Indianapolis Colts. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of teams, and there's not enough quarterbacks to go around, so certainly somebody's going to overpay. Yeah.
I hope they all go to the NFC. I'm tired of this shit. Take Lamar Jackson. Get his ass in the NFC, too. Come on, man. Go.
Okay,
go that way.
Thank you. Hey, I'm going to say this really quickly, too.
Tampa Bay Bucks.
I call
Brady
this,
might retire.
That's true, too, maybe.
NFC?
Hope. Hey, I'm saying this. I cannot believe Andrew Luck, the whole, like, his retirement has effed up the whole Colts ever since he's been. That's been crazy how his that effect has happened this long, man. Isn't that crazy? That him, if he, they thought they had the quarter for like 12, 15 years, man. That
Hercules, yes.
Crazy. Yeah, they're not real happy with him. I don't think he has a key to the city.
I don't care. I got to deal with Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. I want everybody else to go to the NFC. Go that way.
At the same time, you can't blame
there's
Luck,
a really
man.
Good chance
you
Bryce Young might go to
and
Houston,
blame him
and CJ Stroud might go to the Colts. That's a really good
I
chance.
I don't want none of that shit. I saw
and
draft ahead Smith and Jigma going to the damn Ravens. I said no.
You might have CJ Stroud and the Colts, Bryce Young with the Texans, and now Trevor Lawrence finding himself with the Jaguars. More
right.
AFC.
And you're talking about Jigma going to the Ravens with J.K. Dobbins? I said, seriously? Come on, man. Come on, somebody. Please don't do this to me. Come on.
And shout out to the Falcons for selling Matt Ryan like a used Cadillac on Facebook. Boy, they got over on them Colts, man. And this ain't like, look, this is Colts on the phone.
Seattle.
They don't want
Seattle team
draft,
getting,
nobody
got
said
over.
They could keep getting
they got over with trading Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think this is going to play out this
hold
way.
On.
Knowing what we know about Russell Wilson, with a better offense in place and a better head coach, Russell Wilson is going to play better than this, man. This is the Chris Paul situation all over again. We're marking out a Hall of Famer for dead. He's going to play better under a better offense, man. Like, there's no way he's this. There's no way. I just can't believe
so
it.
So you don't play the coach Russell Wilson throwing his double covers? The coach is telling him to throw in his double covers? He got good wide receivers. He got a good defense. That's a Russell Wilson of Sierra. He in the house once.
Your eyes don't lie.
I need him to watch the film.
I'm just saying that dude has a body of work beyond this year to where
he got a body of work
cooked.
On this year.
Body of work on the clipboard.
Hey, I'm just saying last year Russell Wilson's game was starting to regress last year. And we saw that in the second half of this year last year, and you saw it for a complete season this year. And so, hey, man, it looked like Seattle took him to the woodshed. And they might have the number three overall pick in the draft.
You know, if you guys remember right, I was high on Denver. I mean, I was really high on those Denver fumes, I guess, because I thought Denver was going to be the team.
Marijuana's legal up there in Colorado, man. You got to stop going, staying high on Denver.
I know.
I dumbass took them to win the division. So, yeah.
No, that was a solid pick. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I thought they were going to be good. We all listened to our blog. We all were Howard Denver. We're like, Denver's going to be great because you all needed was a quarterback.
Yeah, but I think JQ and I were over the top highs to Denver. You know, we were.
But you can't play the result. Like, knowing what you knew at the time. What they had as far as weapons, what they had as far as defense, and you just plug in a franchise guy, y'all made a good – like, no, that's a good prediction. It just didn't turn out well, but it was a good prediction, man. Like, no.
Yeah.
Uh-uh.
Well, that's one way to look at it. I thought my prediction sucked.
That's funny. Hey, Naj, I was going to say this really quickly. I know we hate revisionist history, but we kind of think about this, right? Like, what the hell, what if we didn't draft Kyle Pitts and we drafted Justin Fields? Now, what the hell would have happened? You know, isn't that what would have been interesting if everything, you know, I hate that. But damn,
man.
Right?
Man.
He should have never made it to y'all. New York Jets should have never made it to you.
True, too.
Well, the part that killed me about
true. I just think about
okay,
that.
It's one, you took a reach on drafting him because, yeah, he's this next-level athlete, but it's a tight end and you're still in a rebuild. But then you get them and you don't use them. That's where it's like, okay, well hell, give
that's
them the ball.
I'm gonna fit this.
Let's draft a blocking tight end and pick overall pick.
Even for me, like, there was two guys that I was intrigued about. Intrigued about Ja'Marr Chase, and I was intrigued about Justin Fields. And I'm like, Chase, I didn't think Chase was going to get to us. And I'm like, that dude was amazing. And everyone was like pissed. I'm like, dude, Chase is the guy, man. And you basically let him just go right to the Bengals, which you knew that was going to happen. And I'm like, those are the two guys. I was like, I can't believe we had opportunity for Ja'Marr Chase. Like, that dude, like, your eyes don't lie, right? And I'm like, yeah, you know. So at that juncture, I mean, I know we were kind of toying around with our emotions with Doug. You want to hurt Matt Ryan's feelings, but those are guys I'm like, man, you know, that's what I was a little upset about. I hate going back in time.
That was the move.
That's when you want to be in those war rooms. That's when you want to be in those war rooms listening to those conversations. And for that poor bastard that made the wrong choice, he was like, you know what, this next year, you shut the fuck up. You're not saying anything.
That's funny. That time machine, Gary, that's funny. Rob brought that up. There's a time machine. And we were talking about Chris Paul. I'll never forget, like, we need Chris Paul. We needed a point guard.
Over Chris Paul.
And what did Bill fucking Knight
Marvin Williams,
say?
Baby.
Hey, I need Marvin Williams because he's – and we were like – this man on the squad. He wasn't like even the main guy. Like, and then they Billy Knight said he would have drafted Deron Williams because he was a bigger point guard. Because the one game he saw, Chris Paul didn't play well versus Deron Williams, and he was like, "Eh, I don't want to draft this Paul." We're like, "That's one game, bro. That's one game." And then there's the history right there. And then
the 30th man in the game is still hitting people with low blows. And a Hall of Famer,
right.
but dude, to that Falcon point though, dude, like yeah, we should have got Fields no matter what. Fields would have been way better, but dude, this stuff ain't easy no matter what. But NFL Films did us a disservice for not giving us the audio of Joe Burrow calling the Bengals front office when he knew Chase was on the board. I want to hear the curse words. I want to hear the screaming. I want to hear what Joe Burrow told them if they did not draft his homeboy. That's what I want to hear.
I quit.
I remember that year JQ was all about Cincinnati taking the offensive lineman. Then right before the draft, I think we should go get Chase.
So that's the greatest thing ever, man. You can't even make that up, man. It's like, woulda, coulda, shoulda. And
true.
It's always good, right? Revisionist history, right? You know, and we talk about that. Because now the Jets ask the people, Wilson's right there. You don't know if Zach's the answer. You don't know if he's the answer. You really don't, right? You're like, what the shit? But I can't, like, second pick, man. What the hell are you going to do, you know?
Well, he's not the answer to New York. He might be the answer somewhere else, but he just doesn't have the moxie or personality that can handle the New York media. And sometimes they're all about the right fit, and he's not the right fit there.
All right, y'all.
A gunslinger
anyway,
that don't shoot. Man, that's a terrible pick, man. And shout out to anybody in the Oregon area near Portland. Go in a bar with a Greg Oden jersey on. You'll drink for free. People will tell you all
terrible stories about how you should have been there. Nope, I'm not doing this with you. All right, I'm going to sleep. I'm not doing this with you.
I knew where I was headed. Ohio State.
I knew where I was headed.
Man.
Nope, I knew where I was headed.
You mentioned the word Greg Oden, man. Gary's going to drink himself to sleep tonight now.
I'm not here for the slander. I'm not here for it. I'm going to bed. I gave y'all 40 extra minutes. I'm going to sleep.
But JQ, with the information they had at the time, there was nothing wrong with the pick.
That dude was flipping when he was 20 years old. That's a terrible pick, and I own it. But he was flipping at 20. That dude was also like a 45-year-old man at 20. Come on, Portland.
He was 50 years
he
old.
He looked
45
when he got drafted.
Yeah, man, he was pretty old, man. Yeah. You know that.
I'm going to bed. Andre.
It's 4 o'clock.
Close the show.
All right, we're closing the show. I got to say this. It's going to be 4 o'clock in the morning in Portugal, in Lisbon, if I think about this. We'll see, man. But I'm just, you know, I'll let you know, man. So, a lot of love, man.
All right. If we need to cancel next week, let us know.
I'll do it. If you send me the stuff again, I'll do it if you guys want to do it.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
I got you.
Yeah.
All right. All good, man.
Really,
all right,
thank
guys.
You.
See you same truck.
Andre about to put on 10 pounds out there, man.
You see it. 15.
No, I'm not. Food is good. Food is a lot cleaner out there. I'm saying, man, but I'm excited, man. So.
Going to put on almost alcohol pounds.
Pasta and matter. That's true.
Make some wine
right,
while you're over there,
guys.
Man. I'm trying to get the weight off of
have a little port in the, have a little port in the evening.
Yeah,
we're right. Lisbon's a beautiful city.
Appreciate you guys. All right. Have fun. We got to end the show for JQ talking no more junk, man. See you guys.
Going to be flying Delta.
I'm definitely flying Delta. That is the case for sure, man. So we're going to hit up guys.
Oh, man,
I'd
have hit them on the Sky Club, man. You don't know how to act.
That's true. I got the platinum express. I'm like, what? This is pretty dope, man. I was trying to – I'm living my best life, man. So the business does that, man. So I'm pretty excited. So. JQ. All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
All right, fellas.
Be good, guys.
Thanks,
guys. All right,
sure.
Yeah.
All
right. Appreciate you guys.
Love you, Gary.
Great, man. Love y'all, man.